Oh, yes. That will go down as one of the most classic moments in the history of this show.
No
Chase
doubt.
And Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. That happened on our show yesterday. Oh, so good. Let's bring in John McClain with us. John, good morning. Are you at the Combine?
No, I'm not. I'm missing my first Combine since 1985, and I kind of like it because I'm watching everything on TV and on my computer, where if I was there, I'd be running around like crazy from the media room to the interview room, transcribing tape, not seeing anything on TV. Like when I cover road games off the TV, I find out it's easier than going to the stadium where people are talking all the time. You're way up in the top. You have such a great vantage point. I feel bad for that promo y'all just did, because at my former station there, one of your competitors, I had been covering a primetime game in New England, and it was a night game. So I went to the airport, came back. I'm on the air. They go to a commercial. Next thing I know, I get a call on my other phone, and I felt like, oop, I fell asleep for like 2 seconds, actually.
Oh, no.
Just like that, they recorded me snoring, and I thought, you know what, I'm not going to make excuses. I'm just going to own it, and I didn't say they bored me to death, but that went unsaid.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
It wasn't like, well, I was out all night partying. At least I had a legitimate excuse.
Yeah. Well, what was funny is this guy called in. We had Rand Carth on our show yesterday, and he called in the middle of that. And so he was on hold for a while, and I've never had that happen before. I know it's probably happened, but it was just, I was so caught off guard. But nonetheless, fun times.
It makes
for sure.
Great promotion, of course.
That is for sure, and that's exactly what has happened. But we did talk to Rand Carth on yesterday. Brian Callahan talked to our midday show, and you know, I felt yesterday was an important day for Rand Carth on, especially because he did his press conference, and then he kind of did the car wash of interviews, and I thought he really handled himself well. And he's got a lot of cap space to work with. He's got a really good draft pick in the 7th overall pick, and he you know, listened to hypotheticals, but he's not showing his hand. How important is this draft and this offseason for Rand Carth that he's now in his second year as GM, but also the first year that it's truly his show?
If Brian Callahan is going to succeed with Will Levis, then Carth has to get him playmakers. He has to protect him, and has to get him playmakers. Where they pick, they can get one of the top two offensive tackles, or they can get one of the top wideouts. Now, it's such a deep draft. You don't have to take wide receivers in the first round. And to me, the most important thing to do would be to protect Will Levis and draft one of the tackles, because it's easier to get competent receivers in free agency than it is to get good offensive linemen, especially tackles. And I think it's pretty clear based on everything we saw from Carthon and Callahan that offense, building the offense around Levis, making sure he has protection and playmakers. And of course it helps that they have one of the best line coaches ever, Bill Callahan, that those are the areas that are going to be addressed in free agency. I'd say here about the Texans, they play the first place schedule. They're going to be going against Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, and Jared Goff, Jordan Love. They've got to work on their defense, specifically their pass defense. And in free agency, you don't see teams generally paying big money for safeties and linebackers unless those linebackers are in a 3-4 system where they can rush the quarterback. And so, therefore, it is easier to me to give those players in free agency and use the draft for the other ones. And Carthon's got a big offseason coming up. When free agency begins, like every team, a godsend came in the form of a cap that went up $30 million. Now they'll roll over some of that to next year, but that has helped a lot of teams. And it's exciting for them, for the fans, for the media covering it. You know, you don't want to have a high pick because you had to earn it. And hopefully you don't pick that high again, and they have to make the most of it.
John, why does the NFL do free agency before the draft? And could you ever see them changing that? Because I know a lot of people have said that they'd like to see the draft and then free agency.
Because that's the way the union wants it. The draft used to be during the season, and that's hard to believe. Of course, the draft used to be 20-something rounds. When I started covering the NFL, I think it was 18 rounds. And a couple of times when the draft was like 12 rounds, it was in one day. You talk about the longest day. You get in there about 7 in the morning. There was no ESPN to televise everything. And they go to a hotel near the Oilers' old facility, and they'd invite fans to come out to the big ballroom, and they would bring in a few players to talk to them and mingle, sign autographs, and pose for pictures. And then the media would be in a separate room, and there would be a monster board on a wall that had every team and all their picks underneath it. And as trades were made, you had to swap those picks, and the PR guy, Bob Iyed, the late great Bob Iyed, would get a call, and he would write the name down and put it under the team based on the round. And it would just go forever. One time we were when hotels, and this was a fancy one called the Shamrock Hilton, they had in-room movies before I never knew they had in-room movies. So the Oilers got it hooked up that the media, we could watch in-room movies. The day was so long. So I remember watching 2 or 3 movies while the draft was going on. And so I don't think they'll ever switch it. I remember some NFL people telling me, Bud Adams said, having a draft in New York and then leaving the downtown offices and going to Yankee Stadium where the Giants were playing and watching the Giants play. So I don't think they will ever have it before free agency, but I think the union likes it. It's been collectively bargained, and I don't think it'll ever change. What I wish would change is the time, all the coaching, when you're searching for coaches. I think everything should be done after the Super Bowl. Nobody can talk to anybody legally. And then just push everything back. So what if the draft gets pushed back a couple of weeks? Give the current players a vacation before the draft, and then they get a vacation after the draft, and they go on the offseason. Then they go off to the offseason program and come back for training camp. There's no reason not to do that. People used to say, oh, they got to start on Labor Day weekend. Well, TV ratings never were high on Labor Day weekend because so many people are traveling. And then they said, well, you know, so what happens if we push it back to the weekend after Labor Day? They did. The world didn't end as we know it, and ratings were terrific right from the start.
Interesting. We're talking to John McClain here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. John, we're going to go back to the time machine now, back to 1983 when the Oilers drafted Bruce Matthews at number 9. Okay, you know, he had a great career at USC. That's also the loaded quarterback draft of all time. So now we put in real time where the Titans are thinking about taking a wide receiver or a lineman back and forth. What was the mindset back then to take Bruce Matthews when all these great quarterbacks were still left in the draft?
Well, they had Earl Campbell at running back, and Earl was coming off a strike here, and Earl was still in great shape. And in 83, he had his last 1,000 yards season. I think he had almost 1,300 yards. So they were built all for the running game. And they knew the general manager, Ladd Erzy, was in cahoots with agent Lee Steinberg to sign Warren Moon a year later when he came from Canada into the NFL as an unrestricted free agent. Because I know that because Ladd Erzy asked me to come up to his room on a Saturday night and watch a Canadian Football League game. And he told me off the record, his personnel director, Mike Olivak, who would be the general manager, that Mike was in Canada scouting Warren Moon in person. So they had a plan to sign Moon in 1984. And so in 83, they had the second pick, and this is what the Bears could do if indeed the Bears wanted to trade the top pick. They're not. They're going to take Caleb Williams and trade Justin Fields. But they had the second overall pick. They traded to the Rams. You know, Elway went first to the Colts. And they traded the second pick to the Rams so they could draft SMU running back Eric Dickerson. Then they traded that pick to Seattle, drafted Penn State running back Kurt Warner. And then they went down to 9 and got stuck with Bruce Matthews. And so at the time, coming off the 82 season, they had drafted Mike Munchak in the first round, but he suffered a broken ankle before the strike, and they only played 9 games that year, and Munch only played a couple. And the GM, Ladd Herzig, wanted to fortify the offensive line for Earl Campbell. And so he drafted Bruce. Only time Bruce ever missed a game was when he held out his first 2 weeks. He had Oldemout Howard Slusher as his agent. Oldemout was his nickname. And he never missed a game in 19 years. And so Munch became great in his second season. And they used to also, the 84 first round pick on Dean Steinkuhler, another offensive lineman from Nebraska. And Earl Campbell had a great season. Then Earl got hurt. They traded him to New Orleans. He had a bad knee, and they didn't operate on him. Traded him to Bum Phillips, coach in New Orleans, for a first-round pick. And then they signed Warren Moon. And then they were starting in 87. They went to the playoffs 7 years in a row, mainly because of the way Ladd Herzig had manipulated those picks to stockpile players. In 1986, they drafted quarterback Jim Everett. And everybody's like, my God, why are they doing that? They got Warren Moon. And Moon had struggled because the team was still losing. And Herzig took him and then got teams in bidding and traded him to the Rams for a bunch of players that helped them go to the playoffs in 87 for the first time since 80. And then they went to the playoffs 7 years in a row, more than any team in the league.
He is the great John McClain joining us, talking about the combine and much, much more. We'll continue with him coming up next on the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by Regal Realty Group, 1025, 1063, The Game. It is Chasing Big Joe here on this Wednesday, 1025, 1063, The Game, continuing our conversation with the great John McClain.
John, I want to ask your opinion about, now that the draft, well, it's been for several years now, the 7 rounds. I remember, you know, I'm looking back at the 1971 draft. It was 17 rounds, and one of the famous things from that draft was Norm Van Brock and the head coach of the Falcons. They got so bored at the end, they drafted John Wayne. Pete Rozelle said, you can't do that. They said he was from Fort Apache State. Do you like the fact they dropped it from 17 to 12 to 7?
I do, and of course the players do. Blaine Bishop would have been undrafted free agent today. He was an eighth round pick of the Oilers in the last year. I think they had eighth round in 1993. And today when we talk about middle rounds, the top six at one point, the top 7 rounds would be premium picks, because when you went and had that many back in the old days, and so many of those players, they just brought them to training camp, cut them before training camp, cut them in training camp. It wasn't fair. And back then they didn't have to pay them squat, so they could get away from it. But it was great for players, because if you're an undrafted free agent and you're good and you can get multiple teams giving you a bidding to give you a signing bonus, you get more than 7th and 6th round pick. But yes, I liked it. One, selfishly, because I used to be, when they decided to split it over 2 days, it took forever, both days. I love it the way it is now, where it goes by fast. Used to, there was 15 minutes in every round. Hell, I remember when there was no time limits.
My goodness. How do you see the combine changing in the future, John? Because now, you know, it used to be, you know, you would send 30 people with your team, the GM, coaches, assistant coaches. Now, you know, a lot of head coaches aren't going. You know, GMs are still there. A lot of personnel is not going. Where do you see this combine, John, in 3 to 5 years?
Coaches don't need to be there because everything is taped. You know, you get everything. And I remember Gary Kubiak, coach the Texans and the Broncos, he used to say, I don't need to be at the combine. But he said, I go because I like the interviews. Used to be you had 60 guys if you for five 15 minutes. Now you get fewer for 12 minutes. But he said, I want to ask them certain questions, and I want to look them in the eye, and I want to see their response to my questions, because there were certain ways he liked to ask it. He just didn't want the GM or a coordinator asking those questions. And that's recorded, too. But if you think, like, if Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan think it's important to look a kid in the eye after you ask them questions, then you need to be there. But otherwise, everything's on tape. Pro days are on tape, everything but private workouts. And when you bring 30 into your facility, now the combine has taken off since the NFL Network took it over. You know, it's become a huge event for fans across the country, and I'll be watching every minute of it right here. Can't wait. Where Pro Football Writers of America, they used to not let any media people into the facility, in the stadium. And oh, we didn't see what was going on. We'd have to ask people. Then the NFL Network came along so we could finally see. And then when we finally got them to allow some media people in, they put us so far at the end of the old RCA Dome, we couldn't see squat. And now they have a better relationship, and a lot of the media gets to go. But when you got the TVs right there by you, why do you need to go over into the stadium? But it's improved so much, and I don't think it hurts if they don't have certain coaches going to the combine.
We're talking to John McClain. The Bears have the first overall pick. Caleb Williams said he'd be excited if the Bears drafted him, and there, of course, have been a lot of other things that he didn't want to go there and all this stuff. But if the Bears do, in fact, take Williams number one overall, like everybody thinks they're going to do, what do you think the market's going to be for Justin Fields?
I think that if they get multiple teams bidding for him, they'll get a couple of picks this year, like a two. They'll ask for one, and maybe they get a one. It depends on what those teams, how they evaluated Fields and with their coordinator and their system. I don't see Justin Fields as a Steelers-type quarterback. They never had a quarterback like him, ever. Their guys are pocket passers, and they run when they have to, but they don't have somebody who thinks run first and pass second. I could see him in Atlanta. He's from Atlanta. Could see him with the Raiders. So the idea is to get multiple teams bidding, as I mentioned the Oilers did with Jim Everett in 1986. And I would make sure, whatever the first pick is, if I give a two, I want it to be a conditional pick that escalates to a one if he takes the team to the Super Bowl or the championship game. Whatever conditions you want to put on it, you better have conditions in there, that because if he wins the Super Bowl, at least you're going to get a higher pick.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, on the Steelers front, I mean, we've been saying this with Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator now. Tannehill just makes so much sense to the Steelers.
Well, I could see that, you know, even though Ryan's had injury issues and he's older, and Kenny Pickett has been a disappointment. You know, they had Trubisky for a while. Ryan Tannehill's not the answer to their problems. They try and develop Pickett. Now, maybe Smith can have a positive effect on Kenny Pickett. But Pickett's got a running game. He's got a good enough offensive lineman. He's got good enough receivers, and this is a telltale season for him. If he can't do it, he's gone. Maybe he can do it under Arthur, because you know Arthur is going to emphasize the running game, which will take a lot of pressure off Pickett.
Well, saying that, John, Derrick Henry to Pittsburgh? Surely not, right? I mean, the relationship with Arthur Smith, and, you know, everybody's got Derrick Henry going to Baltimore, some, you know, to Miami and Dallas, but Baltimore, the favorite for all that. But scenario that Derrick Henry goes to Pittsburgh?
I don't see it. They got two running backs. One of them was a first-round pick, and Warren might even be better than Harris. So I don't see it. I think Cowboys are going to have no running backs. Tony Pollard is out. They're not franchising him. Maybe he re-signs for less money. But if I'm the Cowboys and I'm trying to go to the Super Bowl and I can get Derrick Henry for, say, 2 years, he was so much better this past season than what the Cowboys had. He's better the last two seasons than what the Cowboys had with Elliott and Pollard. I think he would be an ideal fit there. And from a football fan standpoint, I hate to see him leaving the Titans, but I can tell you what, there's a lot of Texas fans who'll be glad he's gone.
I'm sure. You know, we had Rand Carthon on the show yesterday, and we asked him about Derrick Henry and all that's going on, and he says he gets asked that more than, hey, how are you doing today, Rand, about the future of Derrick Henry? And, you know, have you ever seen a team just come out, John, in your career and say, look, we've moved on from, you know, this player, take care of yourself, we're moving on, because we know the Titans aren't signing him. Would it behoove anyone for him to Rand to come out and say, look, we wish Derrick well, but we've moved on?
No, it wouldn't, because then people start saying, well, why? He's going to get that enough when Derrick signs with somebody else, because it's such a monumental move for the franchise to let him go. And they got Spears. Now they'll bring in another back, and they'll think find one in the second round like Henry or lower like Spears. And so, but nobody's ever going to say we've moved on, because when you do that, you know, it's a negative connotation. I mean, right now they don't think Derrick Henry can produce under the new coach like he has in the past, for whatever reason. System, I'm not sure. But when, and that's why you have to beware of signing other teams' free agents. There's a reason they're not wanted. And it goes beyond the cap, because this year there are no excuses involving the salary cap.
John, what was it like when Earl Campbell went from Houston, the Oilers, to the Saints back in, was it 83, 84, or whenever that was?
It was in 84. And in 84 training camp, he hurt his knee. He needed surgery for cartilage. They didn't do it because then they were afraid Bum Phillips wouldn't trade him a number one. So they didn't use him much. He goes to New Orleans, never the same because of the knee injury. And by the time Earl left, we all knew he was gone. And even though he was an institution, a genuine legend, been designated like Davy Crockett for the state legislature here, people were sad, but they knew it was coming.
John, were you there the day, one quick question, when he didn't make his mile run and somebody asked Bum Phillips that Earl Campbell...
Yeah, I was there. And when he said Earl can't finish the mile, Bum hesitated, spit a chaw of tobacco and said, well, when it's third in the mile, we won't give it to him.
Oh, that's fantastic. John, always enjoy this. Appreciate it. And we'll talk next week.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, as always.
Absolutely. John McClain from
great
Houston.
Stuff.
Oh, that's a great story. That was good. Coming up next, Brian Callahan was on our airwaves yesterday. Rand Carthon was on with us. And there were a couple of things that really stood out to me that both of them said about one position in particular. And you kind of wonder, is that showing the cards a little bit? We'll discuss that coming up next. Plus, our question of the day, we'll reset that here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.